Genesis chapter 4. Genesis, of course, is the book of beginnings, and there are a lot of words and phrases that are used for the first time in the book of Genesis that are significant. Verse 1 of chapter 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. I want to focus on this phrase in verse 3, the process of time. This verse contains the first usage of the word time in the Bible. And I think it's significant that the first usage of the word occur relative to things that make up time. You have the record of the first birth. You have the account of the salvation of Abel by grace through faith in an acceptable sacrifice. You have the first account of brothers being born and one of them being hostile toward the other, jealous, envious, that ultimately led to him murdering his own brother, his own flesh and blood. Cain, of course, murdered Abel. So I think when you think about what time is made up of, it's made up of people and events and circumstances. And the process of time is having a profound impact on all of our lives. Our lives are quickly passing through the portals of human history. The older I get, the faster time seems to pass. Even though that's not true. It's always been the same. There's 60 seconds to a minute, 60 minutes to an hour, 24 hours to a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's always been the same. Time is fixed like that. But days pass into weeks, weeks into months, months into years, years into decades. And as the process of time flows on, I fear that we often take it for granted. We don't view it for what it is, a precious commodity that ought to be treasured and improved upon. Because we only have so much time. The Bible clearly indicates that all time is appointed by God. Turn over to Psalm chapter 90. I call this the time psalm, because there's so many words relating to time in this passage. But there's one that kind of sticks out that most people quote. In verse 9 of chapter 90, it says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Just in those two verses, you'll notice the words relating to time. Days, passed away, years, days, years, 70 years, 80 years, soon. Just in two verses, you see all these words that relate to time. Now we think of 70 years as a long time. But relative to human history, it's very small. We've got 6,000 plus years of human history. So 70 years is just a blip on the screen. Then when you break it down, 70 years is actually 25,568 days. That includes leap years. All right, now that's not a lot of days when you really think about it in the grand scheme of things. If you live 80 years, it's 29,220 days. So you see, he wants us to number our days, to think about this, because all time is appointed by God. Nothing in our universe happens by accident. I believe with all my heart that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. Ephesians 1:11. You will not lessen your life or add a day to your life. You may enhance the quality of your life, or you may decrease the quality of your life by the way you live, but the day of your birth and the day of your death have been appointed by God. I take comfort in that. It's not up to me. It's all appointed by our sovereign God. The Bible says this in Isaiah 46:9-10, "I am God and there is none else. There is none like me, declaring," listen to this, "the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." All time has been sovereignly appointed by God. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And again, this proves the point. Ecclesiastes 3, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And look at verse 17. It says, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Now, this really is a summation of what life consists of. Everything that most people deal with in life are included in here. The day of your birth, your wedding day, the birth of your children, the day of your salvation, the day of your death, all these things are appointed by God. As it is appointed unto God, unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Acts 17, when God was declaring the unknown God to those people, he said, God that made the world and all things therein, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. God not only ordained the day of your birth, the time in human history when you would exist, he also determined the bounds of your habitation, where you would be born, where you would live. All of that is according to the sovereign plan of God. Do you believe that? Or do you believe everything's just come about by accident? You just kind of float through this world like a leaf blown in the wind. I take comfort in knowing that God has appointed the bounds of time and habitation. And folks, our time on this earth has been determined by the eternal sovereign counsel of God. And Job said in 7:1, is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? David acknowledged in Psalm 31:15, my times are in thy hand. How sober this ought to make all of us as we consider our place in the scheme of human history. We are where we are according to the plan of God. If you're a parent, God ordained that you have the children, that little girl or that little boy. It's been determined by God. I want you to see how important this process of time is, so that you don't lose sight of what your purpose is in this life. Because you can let things, you can get in such a rut mentally and emotionally that days and turn into weeks and weeks into months and years without really understanding what you're here for. It's to serve God. It's to honor Him. I want to consider the passing of time. The passing of time stops for no one. From the day of your birth to the day of your death, the process of time ages everyone. I used to say that Ed Pratt never aged. I'm changing my opinion. I mean, I love Ed, but I can tell that he's getting a little agey. Now, it may not be as rapid as me. But the fact of the matter is, I've known him since back in the 80s. And Ed is starting to age, proving my point. That the process of time stops for no one. Doesn't it seem like it was just a short time ago when you were a kid? When you were in your parents' home, when you were going to middle school, going to high school, playing ball, worrying about what your peers thought of you. Young people, let me tell you something, all right? The people that you're worried about right now, whether they like you or not, or you're in, you know what? You're going to graduate high school, and probably you aren't even going to see a lot of those people for the rest of your life. You need to be concerned with, what's my relationship to God and my family? And then reach out and try to help other people. But the fact of the matter is, don't let peer pressure govern your decisions in life. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you're young and you make stupid decisions, influenced by others rather than the Lord, it can affect you the rest of your life. Gosh, I'm running out of water. I'm going to have an attack here in a minute. I got one little drop. Maybe this will get me in my next point. Well, that has some age on it. That didn't taste too good. I think somebody dipped that out of the baptistry and put it up here just as a joke. Quit doing that, Brad. But, man, that was good job, son. Bless your heart. Boy, Buffalo Creek water. Good. Our life's events go so swiftly. I saw it last night when I took a picture of my grandkids. I lined them all up on those hay bales. And then I compared it with pictures that I took of them years ago. And it's hard to believe just how quickly not only do we age, but our little ones, how fast they grow, how quickly this time goes by. And it tells me that time is fleeting. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Our time is fleeting in relation to God and to human history. Our lives are very brief. And time is uncertain. I have been telling you about Bruce Turner's brother, John Turner, who's younger than Bruce. And it's been a few weeks ago, he had a stroke, a massive stroke and a heart attack. And a young man, younger than me, now looks like an old man in just a matter of weeks. From one day to the next, we really don't know what's going to happen. Whether we'll be sick or whether we'll be healthy. You don't even know if you're going to live another day. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Ecclesiastes 9:12, for man also knoweth not his time. As the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. You don't know whether you're going to live or die. Your life's like a vapor. It's there for a moment and it vanisheth away. I grew up with Stevie Hendrickson, and I can remember, it just your memories flood back. He was, back then, 3 years, if you lived on our street and somebody was 3 years older than you, man, they were really old. And he was a lot bigger than I was. And I can remember, him riding his bike and over me. He knocked me out, made my ear bleed. I'll never forget. I just rolled like that and popped up. My ear was bleeding. It was around Memorial Day. But there were other times where I'd get beat up by the older kids because I always wanted to do what they were doing, and they didn't want me to do what they were doing, and hence, when you're dumb, you got to be tough. And that's kind of the way I found that out as a very young boy. But you think about the people that you grow up with that are around your same age, and you think, wow, they're going to live forever. But that's not how it works. He's the first one on our street that I know of the kids I grew up with, who died suddenly. Life is uncertain. And that's why you and I had better make sure that we're right with God. When you really stop and consider the brevity and the uncertainty of life, it is of utmost importance that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, because you're not promised another day. You don't know the day of your death. You must know the Lord Jesus to have peace and assurance. You must believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He suffered in your place, that He offered His blood to satisfy the claims of justice on your behalf. And you must believe that He was buried and rose again. This is not a story. This is the only work of salvation that can save your never-dying soul. Your body's going to die, but your soul is immortal. It is going to live on. So I implore you, I plead with you, if you have not come to know Jesus Christ, repent and believe the gospel. Trust Him. I don't know why sometimes people think something extraordinary has to happen. No. Believe the gospel. Believe on Christ. There's no other way to have assurance that you're right with God. Today, I'm assured in my heart, in my soul, that if today were my last day, I know my body will go to the dirt, but I'm going to heaven. I know it. I know whom I have believed. I know the power of the gospel. And I know my sins have been forgiven. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I implore you, trust in Christ today. And it will be the great, single greatest event that has ever happened in your life to know you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to pillow your head at night and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be with the Lord throughout all eternity. I have that. And it's all due to grace. Which brings me to my next point, the preciousness of time. Since life is brief and uncertain, it makes time precious. Ephesians 5:16, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." Your life is influencing somebody every day. It may be your children, your neighbors, people in your family, in the community, someone that you just may meet by what people consider chance, may that what people say is a chance meeting may affect that person the rest of their life. This is why every day you've got to be engaged. This could be your last day. We only have a short time to work for the Lord. Jesus said in John 9:4, "I must work the works of Him while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work." Romans chapter 13 says, "It's now high time that we wake out of our sleep." We only have a short time to raise our children, to train them in righteousness. Only a brief time to make memories with your family. Make them count. This thing right here is stealing a lot of time. Parents and kids alike. I sometimes wonder if we wouldn't be a whole lot better off if this thing would not have come into our lives. Now, it can be used. It can be used for good. I like the fact that I don't like talking on the phone. I like it when my son can text me, "Hey, I'm going to be late." You didn't have to text me that. yeah, thanks for the announcement. But that's one thing that's good about it. But I tell you what, have you ever just kind of looked at things? You ever been to a restaurant? We hardly ever eat out, but you ever go to a restaurant? Have you ever noticed people don't even talk to each other anymore? They're sitting there with their phone. It's wasting a lot of time. On Sunday afternoons when we eat dinner at my house and all the kids are looking at an iPad, my son-in-law's looking at his phone. I said, "Hey guys, one day you're going to look up from your phone and your old papa ain't going to be around anymore." They go, "Yeah." But it's a reality. We let time get away from us. Sometimes we find ourselves wasting and squandering time day after day. And I pray that God will impress upon each one of us how precious time is, and not to allow another day to be wasted in frivolous things. Because when we stand before God, I think we'll understand how precious time is. Then all of our excuses for why we didn't serve the Lord will mean nothing at all. I'm 60 years old, and I've said this, and I've heard other people say it so many times. We say, "I just don't have time." You know, we ought to say that about things that are meaningless. "I don't have time for that." But for reading the Bible, oh, I got time for that. For attending church and being in the Lord's house, oh, I got time for that. For being with my family, I have time for that. But sadly, whether we want to admit it or not, a lot of times we're really saying, I don't have time to serve the Lord, to read His Word, to pray, to worship. So by way of application, I want to ask you personally, what are you going to do with your remaining time? When I prepare sermons like this, I think, is this going to affect me? Or is this just a subject matter I'm going to study and a week from now just forget about? I fear that some people will not be affected by this message when it's really so sobering. There are lost people who will go on in their sins. There are saved people who are out of fellowship and backslidden will continue to squander their time and their opportunities and go on serving themselves and the world. We have to be arrested with this truth. Time must not be squandered. But then there are others. This sermon, it may be the very thing you needed today to really get a hold of you. And you may take this message seriously and consecrate and rededicate your life to the service of God and the building of a consistent Christian testimony and godly homes. And your purpose, like Josh read this morning about Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What time I have left, I want to be the right kind of example for my wife, for my children, for other people in the church, for my community. I want to be a gospel witness." Then I ask you, when your allotted days come to an end, will you be able to say what Paul the Apostle said? 2 Timothy 4:6-7, he said this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I wonder this morning if we can honestly say this, where we're at today. May God help us to consider the process of time and how it affects our lives and how our lives affect others. The way in which we live and serve the Lord. And if you're not saved today, trust the Lord. There is nothing greater than knowing you're saved. And trust in Jesus Christ. Let's all stand.